with this evening's sermon. You don't know how much I appreciate being here this evening. Usually we go to Patterson. That's a 3-hour drive one way. Go to Branson. That's 2.5-3 hours. Go to Salem, Illinois. That's a 3-hour drive. Just being able to get up off the couch and walk in here was pretty nice. And I do appreciate it very much, the opportunity to bring this sermon, Turned to the Lord, to you this evening. Little bit of an FYI before we begin. You're going to hear me talk, make mention of Lynn's sermon here as I start. Well, what this is don't rack your brain trying to remember the things I'm talking about when I get to that point, because I was taking notes for this and wrote the original sermon in 2013. So don't try to, when I talk about Lynn's sermon, you're probably not going to remember it. So don't worry about that as I go through this. If you want to, turn to Acts chapter 11. I'm going to be starting in verse 19. And going through 24, again, I'm using the New King James Version. I have all of my scriptures printed out here for me. So, as we look at Acts 11, starting in verse 19, please follow along with me. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he had come and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So as Lynn, so many years ago, brought up this Acts chapter 11, and I had either written it down or I thought, this is how my mind works, I started picking out this verse, and the three things that stood out to me as he was going through this were these. Point number one, these folks turned to the Lord. Point number two, they continued with the Lord. And point number three, then more were added to the Lord. These three points really stuck out to me as he was going through his sermon. And honestly, I don't know if that was his point or not. But those things just kind of hung with me. And over the years, as things happen, sermons are born. So point number one, believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 21 again states, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Scripture points out to us here that the hand of the Lord was with them. But if we look at from the Truth Commentary on Acts by Johnny Stringer, Mr. Stringer states that Luke attributes the preacher's wonderful success to the fact that the hand of the Lord was with them, meaning that his power was present to help them. But we are not told the precise way in which God's power was exercised here. It could have been, still looking at the explanation from the commentary, it could have been that they had the power to perform miracles or God opened doors of opportunity. It may also be, if we go back and look at verses 19 and 20, where it states these preachers preached the word and preached the Lord Jesus, and because of that preaching, a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Preaching and convincing people without miracles, signs, and wonders. What a great thing. Is that not what we have today and not what we rely on? If we look over Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, we read, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they not hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And Romans 10:17 ends it up with, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How did it happen? By a preacher. Without miracles, signs, and wonders, like we have today. Back then they could have had, but they didn't have to have, according to those definitions. They heard. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And that is what preachers do. Bring the word of God to people who have never heard it. Or, as we get into the next step, to continue with the Lord, to help fortify us, to build our faith, to strengthen us. The power of the word that is sown on good soil cannot be underestimated. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers to whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. These preachers in Acts 11 could have used miracles to confirm the word, but God uses preachers who have no miraculous abilities to plant and water the seeds of the kingdom, and people today as then believed and turned towards the Lord. The commentary adds this to this understanding. They believed as a result of preaching. Note, their turning to the Lord is something in addition to believing. Salvation is not by faith only. James chapter 2 and verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, but by faith that works. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 reads, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Brings us to our second point. They should continue with the Lord. Verse 23. Some versions here will read cleave in place of continue. The idea of cleaving with or continuing with the Lord is maintaining your relationship with Christ. We should, with determination, strive for our desired result. As we come together as a church, and not only that, but in our daily lives as Christian, what is our desired result? We want heaven. We want eternity. We want our sins forgiven. We want that home in heaven with God. This is our desired result. So we should, with determination, strive for that end. This takes work. This is where Paul writes that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Purpose of heart. Purpose of heart is our determination to continue with the Lord. Not something that is going to come to us automatically. These things we have to work at. Christians who have always to be taken by the hand and begged to do the right thing have no determination within themselves. Christians must, with purpose of heart, continue with the Lord, for they could not remain faithful without a firm determination of mind. Here's my purpose. That's what I want. Nothing's going to stand in the way of me having that. I'm going to continue with the Lord to reach my destination. Revelation. Remember Revelation chapter 3 verses 1 through 6. And the church at Sardis. This is, there's a whole lot here in these verses 1 through 6. But if you look at verse 4, it says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Well, the first 3 verses talks about the church stumbling. It had some problems. As a matter of fact, they were called dead. But Jesus then turns and says, wait, you have a few names who are continuing. They have determination. They have purpose of mind and heart to keep going. He said, they have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me. Even when the world around us may be falling apart, and we come in here, and maybe we have knowledge of little cracks in the wall. Remember my sermon and I pointed out the crack in the wall? And we have knowledge of these little things. These few people, still, in their heart and mind, had determination. They are worthy. Where salvation isn't by congregation, it's by individual. And this is our evidence that Jesus, God, can look into a congregation and see those, who have not defiled their garments. They have determination. They have, as Paul wrote it, purpose of heart. Christians today must develop such an inner resolve if they are to remain faithful. I don't care about the little storms and hurricanes and tornadoes going on around me. It is my job, and I'm going to continue to do it, whether or no things around me fall apart. I have to have this determination. How important is this determination for those in the body? How strong are we? For one of our examples, let's look at Job. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this segment, but I think it's important. Job, chapter 1, verse 11. But now stretch out your hand. Okay, now we know where we're at, right? This is the scene in which they call them the sons of God, come by and present themselves to God. And here's the devil. And this is the devil speaking. He says, verse 11, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he, that is Job, has. And he, Job, will surely curse you to your face. Chapter 2 and verse 5. They all come back before God again. And here's Satan. And he's talking with God about Job again. Verse 5, but stretch out your hand now, touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. Both of these verses state what the devil really wanted. And he spent the rest of the book, 42 chapters, trying to accomplish this thing, cursing God to his face. The devil wanted Job to curse God, but how was he going to accomplish it? Remember what we just got done talking about? Determination of mind. This is my goal. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get to it. That's what I want. So let's think about Job. How was the devil going to get Job to curse God? The devil used Job's spouse for the second attack. What was the first attack? Well, lost the kids, lost the land, lost the livestock, lost the buildings. But for this second attack, in Job chapter 2 and verse 9, uses his wife. And she said, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. What did that sound like? Let's see. Curse you to your face. Curse you to your face. Curse you. Curse God and die. Man, this is almost word for word. Why not? The devil has been given everything except Job's life to get him to curse you to your face. He can do anything he wants to him. Why not go for broke? When we think about this, to those who are married, who is supposed to be the closest person to you? Job's wife used almost the exact same words the devil used. How would it make you feel if you knew you were being used to get at a man who, in Job chapter 1, verse 1, was described as a man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil? This is who she was married to. This is how he was described before she even entered the picture. This is how he was known. This was his reputation. This was his integrity. And something happens and you just give up and curse God and go, just go die. Not much strength there, is there? She was told that she spoke as a fool. I made mention Job has 42 chapters. And this is and his wife is never heard from again. Matter of fact, some of the commentaries I've read about Job, some of those guys believe that when it comes around to the end of Job and he's blessed more than he was at the end than he was the first, it's a different wife. Because they look back at this instance where she just fell apart. And that you don't have somebody who is described as blameless, upright, fear God, shunned evil, and a wife that's that weak. These commentary people thought, just speculating, that it was a different wife at the end. Remember, for you in the church, that you must have a firm determination of mind to remain faithful. Did the devil win this time? No. Have attacks on your faith ever come from someone that close to you? Job wouldn't heed the foolish words of his wife, so the devil said, I'll use his friends. Look at the groups of people as we go through the book of Job and looking at him. Job chapter 8, verse 5, Bildad states, if you would earnestly seek God, wait a minute, what did we just read in chapter 1, verse 1? Blameless, upright, feared God, shunned evil. Well, if you'd go look for God, does he not even know who he's talking to? As close as these three friends were supposed to be, it appears that either Bildad didn't know Job at all, or that the devil was using him to accomplish the fall of Job. If another Christian who had known of you and your faith for years suddenly turned on you and said, you need to seek God, when all the time you'd been doing just that, wouldn't you be hurt? Job chapter 8 and verse 13. So are the paths of all who forget God. Again, Bildad attacks Job's faith, saying that Job has forgotten God and finishes with, and the hope of a hypocrite shall perish. So not only has Job forgotten God, but now he is also a hypocrite. Hey, what are your close friends for, right? Job 11 and 6. He that would show you the secrets of wisdom, for they would double your prudence. Know therefore that God extracts from you less than your iniquity deserves. Okay. Less than his iniquity deserves. Let's take a moment here to describe physically what these guys were looking at. First of all, we're told that even though this was his inner circle of friends, when they walked up to him, they didn't know who he was. Apparently, again, by the commentaries, some of the problems that Job was having physically, well, his skin had turned black because it was rotting and coming off in pieces. And Job is trying to defend himself, right? How is he doing that? Through vocalization. He's talking to them. He answers them back and forth. Again, from the commentary, one of the things that appears from the Hebrew writing is that he had a lung disease, was given a lung disease. Remember, do anything you want, but you can't take his life. And so this disease gave him such bad breath, nobody wanted him to talk. So not only do we not know who this guy is curled up and his skin falling off of him, but whatever you do, don't let him talk because you can't stand to be in the room with him because this disease is coming out. And it's so wretched, we don't want to be around him. This is the visual these people are looking at. And he says that you have not paid for hope of a hypocrite shall perish. And the God extracts from you less than you deserve. If you think I've sinned and you believe that because I sinned, God is doing these things to me, and I look like this, and it isn't enough, Who are these people? The language in describing these friends indicates, again, from the original language, these are his inner circle. These aren't just simple acquaintances that he sees at the barbershop from time to time. These are not people he stumbles into occasionally at the grocery store. These are, the commentary referred to them as the inner circle. These three guys, yeah, I know, there's four of them sitting there. But these three that speak here are inner circle, closest of the closest. These friends were closest of all his friends, yet here the next friend, Zophar, accuses Job with no evidence. God extracts from you less than your iniquity deserves. What iniquity, Zophar? You tell me what I've done. Now, why am I going through this detailed description of Job? Determination of mind to reach a point. Can you see that happening here? This storm that's brewing around me, Job thinks. I know I've done right. What are they talking about? So, what sin? Well, if you're studying the book of Job, it takes to chapter 22 and verse 9 before they even utter what they now know is his sin that he never committed. And that's what they do. What wrong has Job done? Well, Job chapter 11, verses 11 through 13 states, "For he knows deceitful men, he sees wickedness also. He will not then consider it? Will he not then consider it? For an empty-headed man will be wise when a wild donkey's colt is born of a man. If you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands towards him," Zophar here wants Job to repent. Repent of what? This storm going on around Job. Job has to have a determination, just like we do today. Determination of heart and mind and soul to reach the destination we want, that being heaven. No matter what's going on around us, Job had to do this then. We need to keep it in mind to do it today. Remember again from chapter 1 and verse 1, blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. Even to the point where there in chapter 1 and verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless, upright man, fears God and shuns evil?" Do you want to give your life to hear God describe you like that? "Have you considered my servant?" Put your name in there. "This person fears me. This person is upright. This one shuns evil." Wouldn't you like God to use you like that? Well, so here is Job. Here is Job, and this, again, storm is raging around him. Things aren't making sense to him. They do for us now because we have the completed word and can go back and see this wonderful example. But he had determination. It is written of Job's third friend, Eliphaz, in Job chapter 42 and verse 7, and it says, "And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.'" Don't want to be on the receiving end of that. "My wrath is aroused against you." We read through Scripture plenty of times about the wrath of God. It's not something you want to bring home. "Using others against you is a trick of the devil. Have attacks on your faith ever come from that close?" The devil also uses the people of the world to try and to harm, to weaken our faith. Job 29, verses 21 through chapter 30 and verse 1. "Men listened to me and waited." This is Job speaking. "Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After my words, they did not speak again. and my speech settled on them as dew. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. If I mocked at them, they did not believe it. And the light of my countenance, they did not cast down. I chose the way for them and sat as chief. So I dwelt as a king in the army, as one who comforts mourners. But now they, the world, mocks me. Men younger than I, whose fathers I disdain to put with dogs of my flock, have attacks come upon your faith from the world. Believe me, you're not the first. Remember, Christians must, with purpose of heart, continue with the Lord, for they could not remain faithful without a firm determination of mind. Think of our example of Job and a determination of mind. Got to get through this. This isn't right. I know it isn't right. I know right from wrong. I'm going to walk the straight line. My closest friends, my wife, you know, they can say what they want. I've got integrity, and I've got purpose to reach that destination, and I'm going to go through it. With purpose of heart, continuing with the Lord takes work. It takes study, takes prayer, takes reading, assembling together, and edifying one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We should never think that hell is full and our souls are not wanted by the devil. Remember, cleave to the Lord. So what about today? We think of Job, but what about us today? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 14 states, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, in Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Matthew chapter 10, starting verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. How strong a statement is that if you think you can just pass through life with no turbulence, with no family getting after you, without your friends trying to say, oh, come on, just let's go out and have one more beer, old time's sake. And then the world comes after you. We too will suffer to a degree. Brings us to point three. People were added to the Lord. Verse 24. It's a wonderful thing. Verses 23 and 24 state, when he, that is Barnabas, came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. The commentary here states, to be full of the Spirit could mean he was endowed with supernatural powers from the Spirit, or it could mean that his heart and life were dominated by the Spirit's teaching, so that the fruit of the Spirit was manifest in his life, that he was full of faith, demonstrated by his life of service, didn't require signs, miracles, and wonders. Galatians chapter 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is what people can see in us. This is what, if we are living it, can start filling the pews. Life dominated by the Spirit's teaching, so that the fruit of the Spirit was made manifest in his life. And it was demonstrated by his life of service. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A great many people could be added to the Lord by how our faith is demonstrated to the world by our life of service. Being added to the Lord, these people were united with Christ, becoming members of his body, the church. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Ephesians 1:22-23, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Being added to the Lord, these people were united with Christ, becoming members of his body, that is, the church. The church works. People are converted to the Lord. Then these people, the Christians, convert others to the Lord, and it starts all over again. This is how it's supposed to be. Not becoming a Christian and keeping it to ourselves. Jesus stated, Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The church works. Those outside the body believed and turned to the Lord. Once having turned to the Lord, we must continue with the Lord and in service to our Lord, teach that more may be added. 1 Timothy 2:1-5. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 8:1-4. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. The fear of persecution didn't stop them from teaching people the gospel. So let us go everywhere and preach the word. Matthew 28, of course, you knew I was going here, 18-20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Christians must, with a purpose of heart, continue with the Lord, for they could not remain faithful without a firm determination of mind. God will be with us. Is it time for you to turn to the Lord? Be strong and continue with the Lord. Maybe after hearing the gospel, you've decided that you want to be added to the Lord. If that is your desire here this evening, that you've heard the gospel and you've decided that you're done with the world. Forgiveness of sins is what you want, and that purpose that you see before you, that goal is heaven, that's what you've decided you wanted. It's time. It is time to let that request be made known. Or, in continuing with the Lord, you have possibly stumbled a little. Maybe you need prayers of the congregation to help you along your way. Everybody does. Whatever your need is, please come forward as together we stand and sing.